You're listening to Sports and Life with Cameron Datsker, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Well, thank you very much. God, so nice to be home.
Cameron, you look so handsome tonight.
And thank you for having me.
Welcome. We got the famous. Jane and Winna.
Yes.
Seymour.
Yes.
Are you related to Jane?
No.
See, you're going to...
No, but there's a... I would like to qualify that just a little bit. She is a very highly respected actress in America, and... I adopted my middle name to really distinctly differentiate me from her, because I would never want anyone to, I would never want to take advantage of the fact that we share the same first and last name.
Do people ask you that all the time?
Sometimes they do, but not so much anymore because I myself am now... a little bit established as an actor here.
Oh, yeah.
In,
do you live here
America?
Mostly?
Yes, I have my permanent residency now.
Okay, which, she's legal!
Yay!
So,
Donald Trump, you can't kick her out!
No, you can't, Mr. Trump, do that.
Yes, well, you did some other wonderful things we mentioned.
Yes.
Anyway, you got a wonderful play called The Radiant.
It is...
Phil Sokoloff fine.
The wonderful Phil Sokoloff, who... very graciously agreed to come on board as my publicist, and I was thrilled.
Uh-huh.
When we had our first meeting, which was really essentially my pitch meeting for him to hear what I had to say and what my production was about, we hit it off. He's just the most wonderful, knowledgeable man, and he really... listened to what I had to say, took everything on board, and after a while we just sort of got jawing about all sorts of things that are of common interest with us, and then suddenly it was, you know, almost 2 hours later, and he said, yes, I think I'd love to be your publicist.
Excellent.
And I was absolutely thrilled, and that's what's brought me here to
Brava,
brava.
No, Phil comes here. Phil brings the greatest people here.
Oh, it's a super guy.
We had from comedy shows. We had, you know, from stage. What, you know, the one.
Yes.
Hollywood. Yep. This sounds great. Anyway, let's talk about the play.
Oh, right. Well,
and then we're going to get into. We may have a call soon.
Okay.
From Pennsylvania.
Oh.
And a lady who did a movie on Travis Walton, who's a UFO guy.
All right. That sounds like a great mix, because this could. Because I'd like to do a sort of a crafty segue from UFO, UFOs, and bring that into talking about this wonderful play called The Radiant. Yeah. And it's written by a very distinguished and much lauded American playwright, Shirley Lauro. And having discovered her play in Sam French about a year and a half ago... I have never tired of reading, and I've probably read the play...
too many times?
What made you want to do the play?
Well, the subject matter, the story. It's always the story.
Oh, of course.
It's the story that gets you in. This play is about a specific period. It's located in a specific period and time frame about... Marie Curie, the famous Polish scientist who, along with her husband, Pierre Curie, discovered radium. And she then went on to isolate the metal radium later on in her career after her husband was...
When you talk about radium, you're talking about the material that makes...
The atomic bomb.
Atomic bomb.
The essential ingredient that is involved in the core construction and production of that. But prior to it being used in that way, she, through her discovery and her work in radio... therapy, X-rays. Oh, cool. It led to the first discovery and the first use of radium in cancer treatment.
What a powerful force she was.
Very, very powerful. And yes, that material then extrapolated on in history and became used to make weapons of mass destruction. But I'd like to also say before that happened, she broke ground in many ways, and how she used her discovery to invent X-rays.
Oh, wow.
So the first cure for cancer. And I think that sometimes that gets a bit subsumed because it then went on to be used by others to produce the atomic bomb. But before that, she used it for the greater good. It changed the way medicine looked at those sorts of diseases. So whilst in the first instance her discoveries were scientific,
and
located in physics and chemistry, in the scientific world, she and her husband literally birthed the atomic age and brought about new and fresh ways to look at science, technology, as it was known in the early 20th century, medical science, cancer treatments, and various other ways of using radium to advance pharmaceuticals in the care of things like leukemia and other blood cancers.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
That's amazing.
It is amazing
that she had this ability to bring all this stuff down.
Women.
She was honestly, I can only sort of, my admiration for her and my respect for her has only grown and nurtured and nourished and become wider and to be a woman in that time. It's set in the Belle Epoque era in Paris, France, and in Europe, where there is many fluctuations and many things were happening in the social and cultural structures of Western culture at that time. However, it was still bound by constraints, and it was the very early time when things, movements like the suffragette movement was coming, women's rights were starting to come to the fore. She was a woman who was literally existing and creating and discovering in very much a man's world. And that struggle as well, what she discovered. The time period of the play is set, it opens in 1906 and it finishes in 1913.
So Einstein came along.
Einstein was became a very, this is a very interesting sidebar when you bring him up. Einstein became a very, a great fan of hers, and as her genius became known in the wider science community, and her discoveries started to filter into the public consciousness of that time, she and Einstein became very respected colleagues with each other. He used to send her notes and little letters with comments about his current theory, and sort of, I'll paraphrase, and sort of saying, "What do you think of this, Marie? I'm working on this.
Wow.
What's your take on that?" Because his path was slightly sort of off her path. But their thinking and the realm in which they were discovering and researching crossed paths, cross-fertilized. He used to refer to her. And there were a couple of very important science conferences called the Solvay conferences. There were two of them in that early period.
Do you think she was alive when we dropped the bomb on Hiroshima?
She died in 1936.
Okay.
She died before that.
Yes, she died.
But you know, Einstein's story, he talked about, they had her on. You remember when they had this miniseries about Einstein?
No,
she was Mencha. If you get to see it,
okay.
It was on National Geographic, and A&E had it, and they did a whole thing about Einstein.
Oh, that would have
been. Einstein was a lover. He had too many. I got lost with all his lovers.
Oh, he was a fascinating man.
But he looked terrible. Obviously, these women were not interested in men with good hair.
It's all about the brain.
Without the brain, honey.
All right. I totally get that because I totally
and he
subscribe.
Even gave up. You know what's funny about Einstein? Like, he gave up being the first president of Israel. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
He was going to be the first president of Israel, and he said he didn't want to be working with the people in that way. He wanted to be known for his technology.
Yes.
And they wanted him so badly.
Einstein.
Yes. In fact, in Israel, they have an Einstein University.
Just bad hair. I'm sorry.
Which is what they do.
I still have issues.
What they do is they talk about radiation. In Israel, they talk about radiation. Einstein University, and then Einstein had a feeling about where, you know, if we use the atomic bomb, where is it going to go to?
Incredible brain. Incredible brain.
Yeah. But you never know. But anyway,
a fascinating man.
No, I totally. I like intelligent men. That is the biggest turn on. If you
seriously.
Intellect is such a turn on.
Seriously.
Definitely.
Seriously.
That massive brain.
This play is interesting because people see it. They're going to, you know, of course, of her work now. You said in this thing here, there's anti-Semitism was all around Europe.
Well, I'd like to kind of locate that in how Shirley has given us this wonderful sort of this, I'll use this, it's usually used in filmic terms, a mise-en-scène, a theatrical mise-en-scène by having the play transit through this from 1906 to 1913. And it's how she's put this time in Marie's life together. But it's bookended and topped and tailed by a very canny exploration of the changing culture and society of the time there. And it was pre-World War I, there was a tremendous, one of the socio-political movements that was sweeping through Europe, which I think has tremendous resonance with today.
Probably,
Is the anti- immigrant sentiment that swept Europe and individual countries, in particular France and Italy.
You speak French, don't you?
A tiny, little bit.
Oupa?
Give me a French menu, and I know what everything means.
She ordered us food in French.
A French menu, I know what all
saying,
the food terms.
Came back to what you were saying.
Yes,
Europe was going through
and so there is. It connects with Marie's. Her origin, she was Polish, and her mother was Catholic and her father was a atheist.
Wow.
And her and Pierre Curie were professed agnostics. But she was brought up by in the kind of Roman Catholic traditions. But when...
born and raised.
Poland... underwent a takeover by the Russians, and back in those days they were very imperialist and very acquisitive of the countries around them.
Mm-hmm.
Poland came under the rule of Russia in the mid to late 1800s, and that, of course. It was when Marie was a child, and she grew up, for the most part, under a Russian hegemony. And part of that hegemony was a sublimation of other minorities, Jews, and other people who were deemed not...
I call the Jews like the indigenous people.
She's a brainiac.
They didn't
I love it. I love how she's
She's a brainiac.
And so it had an effect also on the middle class, the intellectuals, which her family were.
Right.
Women were not allowed to go to school.
Right.
And any schooling was done in an underground network of universities and schools. Mm. The Russians wanted to stamp out the Polish language, the religion. And this is how...
Unbelievable.
This is how a totalitarian state...
Lenin.
It takes over.
Hold on a second. We got a call.
That's incredible.
We got a call from Texas. Hello, Texas. Welcome to our show. Hello. This is Bernadette. Hello. I guess I scared her away.
Oh, no. Come back, Bernadette. We want to...
Yeah, we want to hear from Bernadette.
Bernadette, are you
from
there?
From Texas.
From the great state of Texas.
Bernadette, she's a life coach.
She's embracing your story.
She comes on my show a lot. And Bernadette, I wanted her to come on to explain about her work.
Yes.
And she works with people that want to prove themselves.
Oh, okay.
And I wanted her to hear about what you're doing.
Yeah. This is
anyway,
powerful.
Anyway, getting back to about the people there. So the Jews were the target.
So they, amongst others.
Right.
And
the Catholics, too.
That's right.
Catholics
and the Polish people were tried to, you know, they wanted it to become Southern Russia. They wanted to change its name from Poland to Southern Russia. And in fact, it's mentioned in the play.
Right.
In the family tree of the Skolodowskas, which is Marie's...
What language is that?
That's Polish.
Okay, so you
and
are
it's taken me months to learn. any Polish people out there, if I'm saying it wrong, please forgive me. I would never mean to.
You give them a discount if they see the show.
Come and see the show. Yeah. The lead actress is saying it superbly with the wonderful Nina Salonen. So the Curies, particularly the father, a lot of his friends and his colleagues were the intellectual class, the artists.
Right.
There were many of them were Jewish professors and teachers and lecturers in the universities that were shut down and taken over and controlled by the Russians. And they rooted them out if you were Jewish or if you were Catholic, if you were an important Polish intellectual, a writer, a teacher, a professor.
Wow.
They wanted to get you out of the schooling system.
Because you got to remember what movement
was. Because you're
Russia.
Undermining it.
You know what movement was? The pogroms.
That's right.
The pogroms were the biggest they wanted to get Jews out. How I know so much about it, my grandfather was told to leave. And he was a Jewish butcher, kosher butcher in Kiev.
Yeah.
They told him, you got to get out of here.
Really? Kiev?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. And what she's saying is really what happened. And I met some older Jews that were in the Holocaust, and they mentioned about the struggle.
You're dating yourself, sir.
Well, I got to explain everything, you know?
Yes.
Got a show for people
and
learn.
And also, it's the way it Shirley Laro has... allowed us to see that connection.
Right.
There's a scene in the play where
wait to see it.
Where there are two women, the Marie and her.
Okay. Hold on one second. I gotta take this call.
I beg your pardon.
You're on Cameron Sports and Life. Welcome from Texas. Welcome. Is it Bernadette?
Hey guys, how are you?
It's Bernadette, welcome, Bernadette.
Hey.
Hello. Hi, Bernadette.
Bernadette, we're talking about a wonderful play. And you'll be part of our ensemble.
We have to see
The Radiant. It's playing in Los Angeles.
Yes.
Will you go to Texas?
Gosh. Anybody out there who would like to invest in this wonderful play, get in touch with Phil Sokoloff, publicist extraordinaire. I'd get that in.
I know. Absolutely. Do it.
I haven't talked to you in a while. So what's going on, Bernadette?
Oh my gosh, so much.
Oh, really?
It's October, the wonderful month of October. So, right on the cusp of...
Yeah, are you kidding? My favorite season.
Oh. Yeah. We're happy you're
for
in LA.
Sure. Lots of energy going on. Yeah. Right? A lot of mixed up energies this
what
month.
Are you wearing
so everybody
for
feeling it?
Yes.
Yes.
Definitely.
By the way, Bernadette has a wonderful, you're going to be coming to LA one day, but you're a life coach in Austin, Texas. And Austin, Texas is like the Berkeley of Texas. Is that about right?
Very I would have to
say that, right?
Yeah,
I love all of Texas, but I'm a little partial to Austin.
There you go.
For sure.
Well said, Bernadette. Well said.
We have a lady who is doing a wonderful director, Jane. And when you don't see names like that in America.
No, it's an old Celtic. It's an old Celtic name. It's out of my family tree.
My question is, you were talking about the, and then Bernadette could give her opinion.
Yes, of course.
But what I'm saying is, at that time about the racism, like what's going now,
and anti-immigration.
You hear what happened today with the Queen? The Queen does not want to see Trump. She said emphatically, "He'll bring a war to England." No, it's true.
What can I say? I mean,
no,
you know,
the whole thing. You know what Trump said?
She's got a lot of taste. So.
Yeah. No, well, you know what the story was? He started with the mayor of London, who happens to be Muslim. And Trump said the guy should be hung. Who's he to be telling that? So they got in a whole conversation. And then England got very upset about it.
I'm sure
which
they would have.
Do. So they don't want Trump to visit London. He wants to go to London. Can you imagine? And he said he goes to London. He wants to see Muslims to be off the street. So that's like the racism, like you explained about in your play.
Yes.
Same thing.
Although it's not directed at Muslims. It's directed at Jews.
Yeah, Jews, but
similar,
about the hate.
And the vilification of the other in a where people live, and how that particular scene where this comes very much to the fore is there was when all the this is a true story, when all the terrible things that went on in Charlottesville
just
a very short while ago, we were on the floor rehearsing that particular scene, and I swear to you, shivers went up my spine when the penny dropped, and I'm listening to the actors say what's written, and there's this particular scene has this rabble, and they shout and use terrible phraseology that is serious vilification, and it's prefacing and premiering what actually happened to her in Paris. But all I could hear and see was two of the stock chants that were used by the individuals carrying tiki torches.
Wow.
I thought, my God, we could just say that in this play, and it is, we're just speaking that truth is still the truth today.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that because I would only ever use Shirley's words, not just because it's copyright, but because that's what she's written.
Right.
But the resonance.
But she had a preface, you know, they say people have a thing about, you know, of the past, the future.
Yes.
I feel like your play is opening that up.
And
Thank God.
It is just so, and I, when we got to the end of the scene, I said, just hold it there for a minute because I want to share something with you. I said, this particular scene at the moment, and I didn't construct that, it's just happened.
Right.
And I want to share this, that what you're saying and what Shirley has written in this scene that is located in 1910 is happening last week in 2017. And you know, the actors, we all just went, oh, holy moly.
It's happening. Bernadette, you're on with us. Do you have any comments to the wonderful playwright?
Yes. I actually do. You know, in regards to, you know, Trump, gotta love our country, first and foremost. Okay.
Yeah,
but I feel like we have taken some significant steps backward.
Right.
In certain regards. Prejudice and all of that discrimination is a little bit of a hot spot for me. I'm very passionate yes. about that whole topic and the mistreatment of anybody to anybody else who feels superior. Yes. So, we have our hands full right now because, we have a lot more since Trump has taken office. We have a lot more coming out, that has been suppressed over the years. And it's as if we're saying, okay, it's okay to act a certain way yes. towards certain people. Yes. And I feel like previously we have made such tremendous strides in a positive direction to only be swiped back several. And
right. Backwards is what you're saying.
Collectively, we need to all just take a stand because right. We are, as much as people like to put up their arm and be like, we are this or we are that, and they are this and they are that. We are all incredible and unique individuals yes. who
Amen.
Deserve to be honored
Amen.
For who
Amen.
We are.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
And what you say?
Let's get on this Trump and tramping situation.
What Bernadette is saying is, which is very true.
Yes.
Is that. The society.
Hallelujah.
And we were
to
getting
that.
Into the morals of what is right, what is wrong. But
also,
thing,
what is human?
What's human?
What is human and what
absolutely.
Is decent?
Absolutely.
What is decent? How to treat people.
Well, you know
decently.
What's going on is what's going on in the country? Because I cover, I go state to state and I cover, as you know, Bernadette, I go around and around with what's going on. And I find people want us to go back. To the harmony, not for this.
Amen.
And
Amen.
They think a lot of people I've talked to said the same thing like you. They said, if we go deeper in the hole, we're gonna go. It's gonna get worse and worse. And I think once you get rid of the Trump thing, him being the leader, I think bye. I don't think it's good it happened because it shows us we need to fight.
Yes.
We need to fight.
And we are very divided right now.
Yes.
We are very divided. We have those who are comfortable in the arms of representatives like Trump, and then you have those who have evolved beyond that and seen humanity for what it is and what it's worth.
Yes.
And I was listening to somebody the other day who made a very valid point that, it's not so much that... what you were saying, Cameron, not so much Trump himself that people are in love with. It's more what Trump is not that people are in love with. It's
right.
because he is not your traditional presidential candidate. He's different. And that's what people were looking right. for, not so much, bringing out the old.
Right.
However, that's what we got.
Okay, now, Kat. What do you want to say?
The wave of power is definitely women, and we're going to own. We will. Trump is.
We already have quite a special spot.
Yeah,
you can only hold us down for so long.
Yes. That's true. Yes. That is true.
That's
women are rising up, and the statistics show that
it's a wave.
That equality we have fought so hard for for so long is we are making steps. We have a ways to go.
Right.
Just even the basic issues like what we can and cannot do with our body, and we won't even get into all of that.
Yes. No, but right
that's
now
the
think,
Hollywood
actually
reporter this week.
Yeah,
no,
that's why I showed up tonight is to talk about this whole nightmare of Harvey Weinstein crap and how it's bringing out everybody to any woman that has ever had an issue with a man controlling and sexually abusing.
Right.
Absolutely. I've just been in touch with a number of women lately that have come out
and said, hey.
Which is a good, it's good.
Yeah.
It's
bringing out everything, like from stuff that happened like back in 1988 when you were like young and whatever and just going crazy
just
and realized,
the film.
Oh, I'm sorry, I was raped.
Yeah. And, you know? And also, when it also gives, it's also opening a portal for women who choose to be emboldened and empowered to release that kind of inner shame that is a part
and
of
it
the
be shame because it wasn't
but
our fault.
No, but that's
that's the hard part though, is because you know a lot of us come from a generation where you didn't express those kinds of things. That's
exactly
very personal and private, and you didn't come out with
it.
You just sucked it up and you pushed it down and you dealt with it. And you know, I was married for 18 years, and I came out of a very controlling type of a relationship, and I understand from very many different perspectives, you know, because I had to deal with the whole my whole childhood growing up under the influence of a certain generation, the traditionalist generation, as well as the religious, you know, impact that was on that generation.
And it
takes a lot for women to be able to take a stand and say, hey, you know what? I am going to vocalize this because this has been this affected me. It's so long. Yeah. It's time. And you're right. I see it a lot on my pages. People just coming out and being like, you know what? Me too. And a lot of times that's all you even see is me too.
Yes.
And that's a step.
People
are becoming more vocal.
It is.
What I was going to say real quick, I'm going to get back with you in a couple of minutes. I got a guy who thinks he's Richard Nixon's grandchild. Call me up. So we're going to go over that. Anyway, Bernadette, call me back in about a few minutes. We'll have you back on. Bernadette, by the way. Wonderful.
Yes.
Fabulous. Love
you.
Thank
you.
Beautiful to meet you.
We're going to come in studio.
So lovely to meet you.
Bernadette's going to come in studio, and we're going to have...
Fabulous.
Really? I get to meet her?
Yeah, you get to meet her.
I'm Kat. Meow!
Okay. That was Kat. I'm just kidding. Anyway, thank you very much. Anyway, we're going to get with Danny Cruz. Danny Cruz, call us. Danny Cruz is going to break the revelation that Richard M. Nixon... It's his grandfather. We're gonna hear it right now. Danny Cruz, how you doing?
Cameron, I'm excited to call in.
Yeah, you can tell us a big revelation. So now,
I love the ladies you have on tonight,
Richard
by the way.
Milhouse
great,
Nixon.
Great competition.
Yeah, tell the folks about Richard Milhouse Nixon because I was really shocked. But go ahead, tell us. You got the floor.
Okay, great. Well, you know, it's a little backstory. We were in your studio with Laura Eisenhower maybe a year and a half or two ago. And I had a chance to share with Laura Eisenhower my grandfather's, or my step-grandfather. It's not a big deal, but we've all been raised by my step-grandfather. His name is Grisel Parker. And he was one of two Secret Service members in the Air Force, in the military police, specifically stationed on Lowry Air Force Base, when he was an MP and he arrested the Libya assassin of President Eisenhower. With one other Secret Service person above the White House president's office on Lowry Air Force Base. He used to walk Eisenhower home to his wife. And so my grandpa was very familiar with the Eisenhower family. And it's no coincidence, I'm saying, is that the biological father is named Richard Nixon. You know, my grandfather's ties to Eisenhower. And my grandmother has slowly been revealing it. There's not a picture in our family album of my real biological grandfather holding his children.
Whoa.
And it's over here in Washington, D.C.
We're blown away.
It's over here in Washington, D.C. now, where it kind of just clicked. I'm like, well, Richard Nixon, the Eisenhower connection with the assassination attempt. And my grandmother, I got a text message from Patricia and Julie Eisenhower while I was
Those
talking
are the
to Laura Eisenhower.
Laura Eisenhower.
And they called me a blessed... They called me a blessed family connection, personally. So it was a real big honor.
Oh, bless you, my son.
Can we get them on our show? Can we get the Eisenhower sisters on our show?
We want to meet you.
That is so
Danny,
fascinating.
Danny, can you arrange it for me? Get them on the show?
What was that?
Get the Eisenhower sisters.
Oh, you know.
Come on.
Well, I did text them back and forth. They were really kind to me, and they did send a few messages. I took a photo picture of it and sent you a copy of some of it, but... Yeah, Laura Eisenhower's and my texts were, kept private, and they came in and basically asked who I was, and I gave them a Bible verse to think about too. I gave them Psalms 1. And
you know what? Oh my gosh!
You know what they asked me? Said, that is riffing. That is serious riffing.
You know what they asked me? Another word from Patricia Julie Eisenhower was, "Who's pretending to be me?" You know, who's pretending to be me is the question they asked, and I guess there are a lot of pretenders out there taking on presidential bloodline. And so the question Patricia and Julie asked me were, who is pretending to be me? And I said, well, if I find out, I'll let you know.
Let me ask you a question.
Do
you know what? I really want you to seriously think about committing some kind of synopsis to paper, because there is a wonderful play in this, or a series of monologues, or there is some kind of wonderful theater piece begging to be crafted from your
story,
from just what you've told us. I mean, I'm just sort of
thank you.
It's really good. We break stories on the show.
You know, I'm applauding.
If I were LA Talk Radio, Camden Sports and Life. But I was going to say one thing.
I could definitely work on that with you, but I also have to say that Patricia and Julie Eisenhower and Laura. We have, what was I going on to say? One other, darn it. What was it? I was going to, my grandmother gave me more information about, a little more of the insight into how the family structure evolved. Richard Nixon, from what my grandmother tells me, her name is Jackie Parker, has children all across the country, and he was not a very nice person. And when he had daughters, specifically daughters is all I've been told about. There was a little daughter named Susie. My grandmother was actually in charge of watching for some time. Okay. And Richard Nixon came back and said that he wanted to take Susie to another mother. So he had different mothers available to watch the children. My grandmother was watching over a girl named Susie for a little while. My mom became a little bonded, and they knew each other when she was a little girl. But my mom has no picture evidence or anything like that. But my grandmother is so hard to talk to. I think I'm the only person she's opened up to. My grandfather stays silent. And it's a very heart-wrenching dynamic, because the children would be taken by aggression to other mothers.
Question,
and I think my mother was he wanted to take my mother away from my grandmother, and my grandmother ended up keeping my mom. So I know that there was some. It's a really interesting dynamic of push and pull in keeping the children.
He was a Quaker.
Yes. He was.
Richard Nixon, Danny, now, are you a Quaker? Were you brought up Quaker? That'd be interesting.
I'm not a Quaker. No, but Richard Nixon, I know, is a very religious man. He actually was part of the long sleeve white shirt club. You know, he wouldn't wear a tie. He loved his mother. He looked up to her like a saint. And his father had a very humble beginning. He came from humble beginnings. His father was a grocer. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I really admire Richard Nixon's origins. And I wish, I just love his speeches. And it makes me come to tears thinking this is America. This is a person I truly look up to and want to be my grandfather, but never had a chance to know.
Live in Los Angeles, beautiful. About Danny Cruz being Richard Nixon.
Check out my website, folks, www.spacepac.com.
Danny, rock on.
Yes.
I'm selling technology in D.C. right now to our government. Right. So I'm lifting up to the stars. You know, where Richard Nixon left off on the National Space Council, I'm picking up right off where my grandfather left, cut off the National Space Council. I'm picking right back up and putting technology into space right now that was created when he was president.
Yeah, and also, Danny, also what you should know is that with the aliens landing, Richard Nixon brought Jackie Gleason. It's an old story. Jackie Gleason almost had a heart attack when he met real aliens up in an Air Force base. This stuff.
You told me about this, Cameron. You have to take a night to share about this online, because you told me a little bit about that story. And more is becoming clear that these are family-oriented, close tie stories that would just impact us in a life in a transformative way. You know, that story belongs to people who were there close to it, like Jackie Gleason. Yeah. And the people who knew Jackie Gleason are probably very touched and moved by that personally, by aliens.
Gleason,
you know, this is a family story, for them,
the book out.
And it's transformative.
There's going to be a book out called when Jackie met the aliens.
That's the one who brought him there
was Richard Nixon. And he didn't believe that this happened. It changed his whole life.
Well, you know, I'm not American, is like, wow.
You know what? You get visited.
Where did that happen?
You know,
oh, my goodness.
I do a show here on UFOs. I get visited every week by them.
The UFOs.
Ken Pfeiffer,
Jose Escamilla
I would love to hear the story from you, Cameron. I would love to hear more about that story from you. And I would love to hear it on a radio show coming up soon.
Put on my shoulder. I was alien. And what has been happening is there's a lot of UFO stuff going on in the California area. In fact, I live in a place called Northridge. There's been so many sightings. And when they come, what's really interesting was they come in through a cracked window and leave.
What?
Wow.
I have a picture. I'll send those. Come from a cracked window. Because they get...
Oh, my goodness.
Jose should be here tonight.
Jose Escamilla!
Well, the motions of metal in laboratories, being the aliens teaching the motions of metal in Area 51, creating the highways on silica, implanting metallic and magnetic metals were implanted
in
on the silica.
But I want to correct
came right from the Roswell crash.
I got to see
the Roswell crash.
Right.
Provided us the highways on plastics today we have for computers.
One thing I was going to say, and then we got to move on, is that Area 51, the UFOs are buried in Lincoln County.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be getting my credentials, and I'm going to take two people to go from the government to see the UFOs there.
Wow. The actual
beings. Hey, I have a Senate Select Intelligence Committee connection now with the director of security over there. I personally met him and shared my work. So we want to always know what was happening in Washington, D.C. July 18th, 1942, I believe, the flying saucers came over Washington. July 18th, in the 1950s, over Washington, D.C.
Danny, we got to move on, but thank you so much. Yeah. We'll have you back. Danny,
okay.
We love you.
Fascinating to hear your story.
Fantastic. With you.
All right.
Thank you very much, Dan. Okay, now we got to move on. Now, you were talking about what play you're doing. Tell us about yourself real quick, because we've got limited time.
Okay, my name is LaToya Torrey.
Look at it, talking the mic.
LaToya.
And I am currently casting a few projects out of Atlanta.
What are you? Are you a musician? Or an actress?
I'm an actress.
Okay, yay!
Brava.
And I'm currently casting a few projects on a couple of actor websites here in Los Angeles.
What are you working on right now? So our audience will be wanting to wait for your...
Well, you can actually check out my website, www.latoyatorrey.com.
You got IMDb?
I do have IMDb.
That's
LaToya Torrey.
Even I have one.
LaToya.
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 That is LaToya, darling.
Nice to meet you.
That is LaToya. All
right. Conversation. I actually wanted to get more involved with the alien conversation because I do believe that there are UFOs that do exist. Yeah. And I think your friend that called, he might be actually an alien.
Really? What about me?
You might be too.
No, I'm linking. You know why? So look at my arm.
I'm looking at your
arm.
I'm just wondering.
And
let me see.
Comes out. What's really weird is I had a friend. She said, you should talk to them. And I go, what do you mean talk to them? She said, you should talk to them.
You might be an alien too.
That's Tara. That's Cat.
Cat.
Cat, like putty cat.
So
tell us now. Are you from Los Angeles?
I am. I used to live in Los Angeles.
LA.
I'm back and forth between Los Angeles and Atlanta. Say hi
from the ATL.
We're
from
live.
The ATL.
Yes.
Anyway, everyone out there,
hello.
Now give us your full name so people will know.
LaToya Torrey. That's T O R R E.
She's no Jackson.
Torrey.
You know what I mean?
It's French.
Yes. She's no Jackson. You know what I mean?
It's a language. That song.
By the way, you're working on a movie right now?
Yes, I am.
Tell the folks. Speak proudly in that mic.
Okay, so you can check out my website, www.latoyatorrey.com, to see my upcoming projects. But right now, I'm doing some castings for some projects that I've actually written and am directing myself. So
very cool.
We want to thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
And what you do, when you get some projects and you got movies, please come back.
I will, definitely.
Because we are the source.
The source.
We break stories of Richard Nixon's brainchild. We break stories of what goes on. And what we're going to be doing is next week, I'm going to have a guy who's claims he's reptilian. Which would be an interesting interview.
Can I come back for that?
No, I have a guy that his hat changes into like a reptile.
Oh,
I see him.
Can I come back and see that?
Yeah.
She might cast him.
Yeah, that's pretty.
But you know what was odd? I was at a restaurant and I noticed green on this guy's hand. I go, something strange. He said, how did you see all this? I said, my left eye could see a lot of stuff.
Ooh.
I said, are you reptilian? And he like went through his, yes, I am.
Oh my God. The
reptilians will appear and they'll be gone. And they come in because what they are is they're brought here to impersonate. That's what they're here. Let's get this call. We've got Bernadette from Texas.
I'm back.
Boy, a lot of breaking stories when you left. We have Richard Nixon's grandchild, Danny Cruz, former co-host of mine. And then we talked about Harvey Weinstein and all his prowess, and
not all of it.
Well, what he did, you know. And what I'm going to do next week, because of time, we're going to try to talk to an actress that had a big problem with him because he was following her.
Wow,
he's a predator.
He's disgusting. He's hideous.
We try to hit different stories.
He's decisively disgusting.
Our show, we're not sports. We're life. We're sports and life.
Sports and
Phil
life.
Day. Yeah. But one other thing I was going to mention, folks, this weekend they're going to have an Italian festival in North Hollywood, if you're able to go. Mm-hmm. It's going to be at a place called Victorino's. And they're going to have all different restaurants in Los Angeles, and that's on North Hollywood and Victorino's. Mm-hmm. So you may want to go there. And then there's also the Vasa Park. I don't know if you know what that is. They have the Swedish Meatball Ooh. Festival. And they invite people to go.
Ooh.
That's up in what we call Agora Hills.
Oh yes, ooh, I've
wow, yeah.
I've been there a couple times.
Yeah, I shot a film.
You go there,
there,
you go to IKEA, you get meatballs.
Shot a film up there. I was up there for 4 weeks.
Package me up some Italian food, Cameron. Send it my way.
I got plays for you. You know what he makes? The Italian beef. Have you ever had the spicy beef?
No, I haven't.
In Australia, do they have a lot of
here in America. At home in Australia, we've got a very, very proud Italian community.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know...
Famous actor. You know the famous actor who did? He did a TV series. He looks New York Italian, and he has the Australian accent. I forgot his name. Very good.
Oh, that might be Anthony LaPaglia.
Yeah, there you go. And we'll package
a fellow New York Italian.
Yeah. I
love it.
I'm New York Irish.
You know what's funny? Talk about Italy. I got a card in the mail from the Italian to get a citizenship for Italy. They said my mom's family has Italian roots.
Oh, how fabulous.
A lot of the Jewish people came to Italy in those days. And this guy wrote me a letter. You got Italian blood. And I told my mom goes, hey, what's Italian? My mom would say that.
Yes, of course.
But a lot of Jewish people came.
Yes.
Really.
Yes.
And I got a thing to become a citizen.
Wow.
And I'm a citizen. You know, you're in trouble of Italy. But one other thing I was going to mention now. Talk about your play. How can we get tickets?
Well, thank you for that throw. That's lovely.
Yes.
The play is called The Radiant by Shirley Lauro.
Okay.
It opens next Friday night at The Other Space in Formosa Avenue in West Hollywood.
Okay.
And you can get tickets for The Radiant.
How much is it?
The opening night, which is a gala after party with lots of gorgeous food supplied by Jill.
Going to be there.
At Mini Morsels, plus champagne and wine, is $40. And every other show for the next 4 weeks after we open on Friday and Saturday at 8 p.m. and Sunday at 2 p.m. is $30.
That's a bargain.
And if you go to our booking site, which is with plays411.com/radiant, you can book yourself a ticket, and we just adore you to come and see this great cast.
Now, how big is this theater?
It's a small, intimate. We are a 50-seat showcase.
Let's book it up.
With AEA.
Everyone out there, let's book it up.
And absolutely. I'm telling you, this play is just such a beautiful play for a small,
I want
intimate.
To see it because I know about the author, and I want to see
yes.
it.
Yes. She's just a wonderful writer, a great American modern writer, Shirley Lauro. She's a great writer. Very, very
wonderful. You know what's interesting is that I've been invited to the Jewish, they're having a big festival the Israeli festival, and they're gonna have a movie about Anne Frank in Hebrew. Brand new movie.
That will be about Anne Frank,
and also now, about the Ethiopian Jews that Israel did not accept right away, but now the Ethiopian Jews are flourishing. And it's good because those were the descendants of which king? See if you guys know. Which king in the Bible? King Solomon.
I don't know. Well,
and also,
I don't know. Bible,
wife,
that well.
You know,
but
you
know, I do
funny?
Know that, you know, you're not supposed to days? Disrespect so many
he
people.
Said, you're Jewish? King Solomon.
The only thing I can say in Hebrew is Kelev Tov.
They have many people came from
that. That means good dog.
Now, Bernadette, people want to see you. How could they book up?
The play?
I'm so sorry. I didn't hear you. What did you say?
If people want to book your services, how can they
do
that?
Oh, yes, please.
Go to my website, BernadetteDeGabrielle.com.
Okay.
Pretty much exactly how it sounds. And, yes, book there. If you're ready to advance your life, I am the one for you. I'm a life advancement coach and speaker. So, I'd love to enhance people's happy.
Oh, I love that.
I love that.
That's my goal.
That's
beautiful.
You're not my sister. She's like my sister.
Oh, my goodness.
So we have that. You're going to come next week because we're going to have an interesting interview with a guy who's a reptilian. So it should be an interesting hour for us on LA Talk Radio. And then the week after that, we're going to talk about Halloween.
Bring it on, my favorite holiday. All right, my little party.
Talk about that energy.
But there's a famous cemetery.
I wish I could do a wish.
They have all the famous celebrities that died. They're going to have a Halloween party at Hollywood Forever.
Whoa.
Who's buried there? They have all the great rock singers they have in the homes are buried there.
Spooky,
you know who else is buried there?
Marilyn Monroe, Hugh Hefner.
Who?
Isn't Hugh Hefner buried there now?
Yeah.
And he's buried next to
Marilyn, because that was his fave.
She's in Westwood.
Yes. Oh.
Yeah, but he's buried right next to her.
She's in Shrine.
He chose.
Silent Star.
Oh.
Charlie was the guy from Italy. And he was a very quiet guy. And also some famous people in that area. It's right by the studio of...
Right.
What's the studio?
Santa Monica. Is it on Santa Monica?
Yeah, it's a famous studio. You know, Paramount.
Paramount.
Oh, okay. See, I do my trivia and stuff. By the way, we're going to do a trivia next week on Halloween, and we're going to give away some prizes.
Ooh.
So if people want to go. And by the way, we want to thank everybody. We got some nice... remarks from the New York Post. The last show I did about a friend of mine who survived the Las Vegas shooting. She had a bullet removed.
Oh, gosh.
She's doing good. That's Shannon Lesner.
Deo gracias.
And we had her on. And by the way, we will see your play. And we'll love you too. We'll see your wonderful.
Come see it in LA. You'll love
it. Kat, you're going to be singing along.
Yeah. I will.
Just and that was Kat.
It kissed me like it was a show.
All right. As they say in radio,
yeah.
We have to go. Oh, thank you very much, all of you.
Thank you so much for having me on. It's been wonderful.
Thanks for having me, Cameron.
Meet Bernadette and these lovely ladies.
All right,
thank you so much.
What we're going to do, as they say in LA radio, good night from Los Angeles.
Yes. Harvey Weinstein, burn in hell.
You're listening to Sports and Life with Cameron Datsker.